speak.
Let her speak. Let her speak.
What is she doing out there?
I'll cut off her mic.
No. Let her speak.
Let Her Speak is a show that works its way through the alphabet from A to Z. We talk about music and culture and things we're obsessed with. We'll flirt with controversy and politics, always framed by a single letter. It was certainly an eventuality that the letter E would be covered, an especially common letter. E dates back as far as Egyptian times. In the story The Gold Bug by Edgar Allan Poe, a random character code is broken by remembering that the most common letter in the English language is the letter E. It's sure to be excellent. Welcome to Let Her Speak.
Hi.
Hi, Tina.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We're back.
We are back. I'm excited to be back.
We had a little break.
Yes.
We were busy. You were away.
Yep, I was away. And then we had another meeting with work.
Yeah, meetings.
And then,
ugh.
Yeah.
But it was about events, which ties into our
topic. Oh, that's true. Yeah, it does.
But we're back now, and it's the letter E.
Yes. Excellent.
Excellent. Excellent. Missy Elliott is our first topic on the list today.
Yep. Missy Misdemeanor Elliott.
Oh, whoopsie. We just... Hold on.
There you go.
I think there was a plugging issue here. Because I don't think I heard that on the radio. It just sounded like it was coming on my computer.
The electrical
It's been a wild
cord.
Ride already so far.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's okay.
Missy Elliott.
Misdemeanor Elliott.
Yeah,
we'll
that's the one.
Again. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. So she's really cool. She's 44 years old.
No.
Yes.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
I think that actually makes me feel a little old.
Yeah. Well, it's because, you know, it's one of those, you know, she was big in the 90s and early thousands.
Yeah.
2000s. So yeah. It's, I think that's one of those things where you think about how you listen to her songs and you saw them on like the Much Music Countdown on Fridays and you were like, oh damn, I was in high school or younger. So then you kind of think about how
if you were me, you're, yeah. Well, I think what you're trying to say is if you were me, I was in high school. And if you were you, you were younger.
Oh yeah. Or younger. We're like 4 years apart. It's not that big a deal.
This is a turning point.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in the whole time that I've known you, you have loved to go on about how old I am. Because
well,
you know
yeah.
It bugs me.
Well,
but now
funny.
That we're live on the air.
I'm like, no, we're cool. No, it's because it's, you know, it's because you're the age bracket of also my husband, who's slightly older than me. So it's kind of funny to.
Yeah. I do it to people
that.
Older than me, too. So.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I complain about how old I am. And then I hired like 21-year-olds for summer work and I feel like super old.
I make jokes about being old enough that someone said to me, you keep making jokes about being old. And I was like, oh, that's such an old person thing to do. I got to stop doing that.
Yeah, but it's ridiculous because, yeah, okay, in the Middle Ages, I'd probably be dead. But, you know.
Yeah, I think the thing about being, and this is totally tangential to Missy Elliott, but I think the thing about like, it's not that I think I'm really old. Like, I don't feel old or think I act old or do old things or that even 36, which is my age, is particularly old. I think what I make jokes about being old is that sometimes I talk to younger people and in my mind, we're the same age because I'm the same age as everyone in my mind. And then they don't know something that I'm talking about. Like, they don't get a reference. Like,
yeah.
Someone who's 21 and then I'm like, oh, right. I forgot how much older I am than you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like, you reference something you watched as a kid and they're like, we don't even have a TV. We just have internet projections in our minds.
Yeah. So Missy Elliott, I think, is an example of that, because maybe if you were 21, like, I think you might have known her music if you were a kid, but if you were 21, you wouldn't maybe have understood the impact that Missy Elliott had to someone who was closer to our age.
Yeah, that's very true. And she was like all over the 90s and early 2000s, as I said before.
She has some big hits.
Oh my god. Yeah, like her first, basically, so 91 to 95, 96, she was kind of in all female R&B groups.
Yeah.
And then she struck out on her own in, I think it's 97, and her hit single The Rain, Super Dupa Fly, from her album Super Dupa Fly, was like crazy. It debuted at number 3 on Billboard 200, and it was the highest charting debut for a female rapper up to that time.
She was wearing what essentially looked like a giant garbage bag in that video.
Oh yeah. And yeah, and it's interesting because she talks about her body a lot too in her work. Like, at the, there's this one line in oh, I forget what song, but it's like, don't I look like a Halle Berry poster? And yeah, and it's cool. It's like, she talks about her weight and how, you know, she's a bigger woman than you would usually see in R&B, like making it really big in R&B. Because yeah, there tends, you know, as in like a lot of pop music, there tends to be kind of a body type of like, oh, a fit woman who can dance.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. So I definitely think that there's some like politics tied in with it, but it was never really positioned as political music, but there was definitely politics and an empowerment message.
Absolutely.
An asking for what you want kind of message, mm-hmm. demanding what you want kind of message that mm-hmm. seemed to work through a lot of her work.
Mm-hmm. Like very powerful female centric.
So she was part of that crew with Timbaland. Mm-hmm.
And Genuine. Yep.
And Aaliyah.
Yep.
She was all part of that crew.
Yeah.
That was like, they made big waves back then.
Oh, so many hits.
So many hits.
Yeah.
I don't have Genuine queued up. I kind of wish I did.
Well, but
to young people, it's the song that you know from Magic Mike.
Oh, Pony.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that, and it's funny because I feel that has kind of, and I'm going to attribute this to Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Where for people of my ilk have watched that show, and then there's this character called Little Sebastian who's a miniature horse, and that's his like theme song, which is Pony by Genuine. And another character on that show, Donna, her cousin is Genuine.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I didn't know that.
No,
I guess
so
I haven't got that deep into that show.
Yeah, and she like makes him come to a concert and sing Pony. So funny.
That song Pony, and this is not even our topic today, but that song was Timbaland's first like hit as a mm-hmm. producer. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was like, he basically probably produced a good number of Missy Elliott's first big hit songs, and it started a whole wave, a whole style, a whole genre.
Yeah, he did.
Of music. Should we talk about more about Missy, or should we listen to a song?
We can talk about it a bit more. I think it's interesting to note that she kind of dropped off the radar for a bit.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, and so she was actually ill. She has something called Graves' disease.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, and she was diagnosed after almost crashing her car because her leg had tremors.
Oh, okay.
And so she found it difficult to, like, hold a pen or, yeah. Right. I didn't delve into, like, what exactly this disease is, but it seems to be some kind of, you know, like it affects your body and how you can use it. So obviously that would, you know, deter her from maybe making new music.
What was the big event? Did she come back at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was 2015 Super Bowl with Katy Perry.
That's right.
Yeah.
She came out for like 2 minutes and completely upstaged Katy Perry.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't feel it's hard to do though, because Katy Perry's kind of like blinking you like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when that happened, like all the tweets were going out. It was like, oh my God, drop everything. Missy Elliott is back.
Yeah, I remember that single she released in 2005, which was WTF, Where They From. It was, and it's really good.
Yeah, she's awesome. So let's listen to a song.
Yes.
I think it's gonna work.
maybe not. Who knows?
Let's give it a try. This is Gossip Folks by Missy Elliott. Yo, move out the way, we got Missy Elliott coming through. That is Missy Elliott, she lost a lot of weight. I heard she eat one crack a day. Girl, well, I heard the bitch was married to Tim and started fucking with Trina. Well, I heard the bitch got hit by 3 zebras and a monkey. I can't stand a bitch nowhere. When I walk up in the piece, I ain't got any speed. I'm a bad man, my jumper, goddamn it, motherfucker, you ain't gotta like me. I ain't studying these hoes, need to talk what you know. Stop talking about who I'm sticking and licking, just mad at ain't yours. I know y'all pull y'all broke, y'all job just hanging up close. Step to me, get burnt like toast. Motherfuckers, adios amigos. I don't brag, I mostly boast. From the VA to the LA coast. Is it go? I'm gripping these skirts. Did you heard? Hot leathers, my feathers, my fur. I fly like a bird. Chicken heads on the ground. Who you trying to fuck now? Now you ain't getting loud. Better calm down, force smack your ass down. I need my drum, bass, high, hats, I need my snare, strings, horn. Yes, I need my tim, sound, right, left. Is it, look at him.
sure that you just wait in the sea. So I'm gonna roll up in the club with them, report them next week. Just wanna see who I am for sniffing some coke. I know by the time I'm finished this line, I'ma hear this on the radio.
Okay. Once upon a time in Collin Park, where they lived life fast and they scared of dark. There was a little nigga by the name of Creek. Nobody paid him any mind, no one gave a shit. No one he could rap, no one lit the hand. So he went about his business and devised the plan. Made a CD, then he hit the block. 50,000 sold, $7 a pop. Hold a foe, 3 years later. Stepped out the swamp with 10 and a half haters. Now all around the world on the microphone. He leave the booth smelling like Burberry cologne. Still riding chrome. Got bitches in the kitchen, never home alone. And he's on the grind. Let me know if he's on your mind. And respect you'll give me. Ludacris, I live loud like Timber. Had to clear these rumors. I got a headache and it's not a tumor. Get up on my lap, keep my head tucked tight. Spray so I never let the bed bugs bite. I'm hard to the core, core to the rotten. You jump down, turn around, pick up hella cotton.
About Michael Jackson.
No. Like, you know what we should do? We should go get her album when it come out. There she go. Hi, Missy.
Hi, Missy. What's up, fools? You think I ain't know y'all broke Millie Vanilli, JJ Fad, when the bees ain't over here gossiping about me? Yo, how about you buff these Pumas for 20 cents so your lights won't get cut off? Your soggy breast, cow stomachs. Yo, take them Baby Gap shirts off, too. You just mad because Payless ran out of plastic pumps for the after party. Yo, by the way, go get my album.
Damn.
We're back on Letter Speak, Van Cleek FM, 88.7, the energy of the community.
Yeah, that works.
That's a thing that I stole from another show.
The energy?
Well, just changing the whatever of the community.
Oh, that's cute. That actually works for us. Let's do that.
We just steal it outright from the show that follows this one.
It's allowed.
Revision Radio.
Yeah.
So that was Missy Elliott. Gossip Folks.
I love that song.
It's a good little tune.
Yeah.
It's got a good beat and I can dance to it.
I know. It's one of those songs where anytime we have like a DJ'd event for work and, you know, we're dancing or something, and it's like one of those, I'm going to request this every time.
This is the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all have those songs. My songs are usually Prince songs. Mm-hmm. That was like, I just remember going to the Dance Cave in Toronto, and like we would go every Thursday because we would get in free and they'd give us drink tickets. And every Thursday I would have about three of those drink tickets, and then I would go to the DJ booth and request Prince, and then they would play it for me. This was like a weekly occurrence. I don't even know why I had to go to the DJ booth to request it. It wasn't like the place was packed. They could probably see me on the dance floor being like, hey, I'm here, play the song for me now.
They're like, we know you're here. We're queuing it up. Don't worry.
Yeah. It would be like, what song do you want? And I'm like, anything that's not Kiss. There's nothing wrong with Kiss and I will dance to that, but that's the song that DJs always play.
I always went on Saturdays to Dance Cave.
Saturdays? Yeah, we went on Saturdays too. But I lived like around the corner from there, so Thursday nights we had a thing that we called, it was like an internal name, was called Kook Night, and me and my girlfriends, we weren't cougars yet because we were like 21, and we just went, and then my friend got to know the DJ and he would like, there would be like five girls, so we would show up and they would give us like a string of three or four tickets.
That's
tickets
so funny.
Each just to stay, so we always went and got free drinks
there, you go,
and filled the dance floor. There's certain songs that will always remind me of that time, but this is a different show.
Yeah, that's actually a reminisce show.
I will say, as an unplanned segue, the next band that we're going to talk about, Erasure, has songs that very much will remind me of that era, because my roommate at that time and I loved dancing to these synth pop hits.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and it's funny because you said, oh, we should have this song. And I was like, what? I don't even know. And you're like, you will.
Yeah, I don't know how I got into Erasure. Like, I think it's one of those things where... I don't even know how. I think it was probably from like my gothier days or something. Like I feel like anything that's like synth pop or whatever.
But they're so epic.
Yeah. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my friend Elizabeth, had an older brother, and we used to make mixtapes on Christmas break at her house. Like every year we would go there and we would all bring our double cassette tape players and we would bring our CDs and cassettes and make mixtapes. And her brother had a sweet CD collection because he was much older. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of Depeche Mode and Nine Inch Nails, and I bet you Erasure was in there, and I probably dubbed one of those.
Cool. Yeah, no. I remember doing CD burn parties with a couple of friends who had great musical taste.
Kids these days.
I just would show up and make it cool music.
Being elderly was not the topic today, but it keeps coming up because kids these days don't have to do that. They just go to the internet and play whatever they want.
And I think that's a detriment because it's you don't know what you want to watch on Netflix, so you just keep scrolling, so you never actually pick anything.
Yeah, and I think it stops you from being experimental, because you know, you just kind of stay in your safe zone.
Yeah.
So you're Erasure, just
I'll watch The Office again.
Erasure actually is English.
Yeah.
So we've got a few E's tied here.
Yes, yeah, great.
They are from London. They entered the scene in 1985. With their debut single, Who Needs Love Like That, which is not the song we're going to play today, but look that one up at home, kids. It's a big ballad. They were huge in England. Between 86 and 2007, they had 24 consecutive top 40 hits.
Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. They had three top 20 hits in the U.S., which was A Little Respect, Chains of Love, and Always.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were huge in the UK, as I mentioned, in Europe, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, South America, Argentina, Chile, and Peru. Those were places in South America. they've sold 25 million albums worldwide. And it was interesting to note that Vince Clarke, who was a founding member of Depeche Mode, is the one of the members of Erasure. So he was a founding member of Depeche Mode, wrote their first three singles, and then later on went on to form Erasure.
Interesting.
And put out some big hits.
They kind of remind me of LCD Sound System in that they've been around for a buttload long time, and they have, they're very respected in their field.
Yes.
But, and then, they kind of have these epic...
Epic
synth pop songs.
Yeah, I think I was like, you'll know who they are. They make those big house songs with the big vocals that are epic.
Yeah.
Big songs.
I'm not getting a drink from this song. I am on the dance floor.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a song by them.
Awesome.
This is called A Little Respect. I think you'll enjoy this one. Those of you at home, if you don't want to dance to this song, there's something wrong with you. You don't like dancing, obviously. That's the problem with you. Mm-hmm. So we'll play this one now.
I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. Why you make me work so hard that you
We're back on Letter Speak, the letter E.
What a jam.
You know what I was thinking? I feel like the pop divas of today should cover Erasure songs and make giant hits out of them again.
Oh, that's a great idea. I'm just getting flashbacks to sweaty dance floors, and it's great.
Yeah. Great tune. I feel like I'm going to have to go. I was going to say I have to go home and listen to that CD. Mm-hmm. But I think what I'll probably do is go home and listen to the songs that I like by Erasure on Apple Music.
Yep. Yeah. And you don't even have to skip the songs you don't want on your CD player.
Yeah. Just listen to just the ones that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, we were going to talk about electrocution.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that you brought this up today because it's a story that I read about recently that I'm kind of obsessed with.
Yeah. And I heard it from your husband.
So that explains it.
Yeah. And so I was just like, what?
It's a small world we live in.
Yeah. And then funnily enough, I was listening to a podcast the other morning, and it was just a random British, it was a random episode of a British podcast called No Such Thing as a Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about this person.
So
this topic.
There's many ways to get electrocuted. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, one of the things that they warned you about was when the power lines fell off the poles. Mm-hmm. Not to go near those because those would electrocute you.
Yeah, which I've never seen in my life.
No, that's probably never happened. It happened like once ever, and they made that little model, and they had the bird zap. Remember?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is this some safety feature?
Yeah, it was like a safety presentation. They would come, they would bring the bird zap.
We got the one where the cops took a dummy and then put it in the schoolyard, and everyone had to go out to the schoolyard, and then they would show you how a car can't stop in time from going 60K per hour if you're crossing the street, and then it would hit the dummy, and the dummy went flying.
I don't know if these things...
It was horrifying.
These safety things are like... effective or just scarred our minds for life. It's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah. And did you remember if we ever had rainstorms, they would tell you over the PA system, don't go near the rivers. And you're like, I live in a city.
I think about that a lot when I walk to work because I walk by that little creek.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should really call it a river or whatever, with creek.
Yeah.
A ditch with water in it.
Yeah.
And
it does get really high.
It gets really high in the spring. And I always think about that warning when they're like, kids, don't go down by the creek. Because we had a creek behind my public school too. So,
okay.
And it was like a real creek.
Yeah, we were nowhere near any bodies of water at my public schools.
Yeah. So if you like went past the fence, you would like basically fall down a ravine of crazy trees, and at the bottom there was a creek. That was probably once a river, but whatever, it's a creek now.
All right.
So there was some serious safety warnings.
Fair warning.
Another way to get electrocuted is to get hit by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to the topic, we were going to talk about Roy Cleveland Sullivan, who was a United States Park Ranger in Shenandoah National Park in Virginia. He was struck by lightning 7 different times and survived every time.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
So crazy.
I thought we just have a quick walk through the 7 times that he was struck.
Yes.
Because I think that's what everyone's question is. The first one happened in April of 1942. He was hiding from a thunderstorm in a fire lookout tower. The tower was newly built and had no lightning rod at the time, which is unfortunate. it was hit 7 or 8 times inside the tower. Fire was jumping all over the place. He ran out just a few feet away out of fear and was hit by lightning.
Poor guy.
It burned a 1/2-inch strip all along his right leg, hit his toe, and left a hole in his shoe. Now, I want to also say before we go any further into this, I apologize if I start laughing because this is not a laughing matter, but I can't help myself but find this story comedic.
Yes. Well, he's at peace now.
He is at peace now. I think I picture it like a movie, you know, and he's a park ranger, which already makes him a character. He's got the name Roy Cleveland Sullivan. So like,
good name.
It just all comes together. And in my mind, it's goofy. It's funny. But I guess laughing at tragedy isn't somewhat normal human reaction.
Yeah. It's time to talk about it and have a laugh. So that's okay.
So that was 1942. His second time was in July of 1969. So he had like a little respite from the lightning strikes. He was hit while he was in his truck driving on a mountain road. And I don't know if this is a myth because I did some other reading on lightning strikes, but it says the metal body of a vehicle normally protects people in cases. But the lightning hit some nearby trees and was deflected into the open window of the truck.
Oh my God.
So that was unlucky. It knocked him unconscious, burned off his eyebrows, eyelashes, and most of his hair. And then the uncontrolled truck kept moving until it stopped at the edge of a cliff.
Oh my God.
So
this poor man.
This guy has a lot of lives. The third time was just a year later in 1970. He was struck while he was out in his front yard. It hit a nearby power transformer and from there jumped to his left shoulder, searing it. Then they start coming fast and furious. In 1972, he was working inside a ranger station. It set his hair on fire when it struck him this time. He tried to smother the flames with his jacket. He rushed to the restroom but couldn't fit under the water tap, so he used a wet towel to put out the fire. He said he was never a fearful man, but after the fourth strike, he began to believe that some force larger than him was trying to destroy him, and he acquired a fear of death.
Zeus.
No kidding, right? After your fourth time being hit by lightning, for sure you would feel like something was weird. For months after that, whenever he was caught in a storm, he would pull over and lie down on the front seat until the storm passed. He also carried a can of water with him so he could douse the fire.
Oh, no. Hey, he's prepared.
Yeah. In August of 1973, he saw a storm cloud forming and drove away quickly, but the cloud, he said, seemed to be following him. He finally thought he had outrun it and thought it was safe to leave his truck, but then was struck by a lightning bolt. He said that he actually saw that one hit him. It set his hair on fire, moved down his left arm, his left leg, and knocked off his shoe, then crossed over to his right leg just below the knee. He was still conscious, and he crawled to his truck, poured the can of water, which he carried with him at all the times, over his head to put out the fire. So we laughed in the last one about him carrying the can of water, but this time it doesn't seem so ridiculous.
Number six came in handy.
Number six of 1976, it injured his ankle. He saw a cloud, thought it was following him, tried to run away, but was struck anyways. At this point, it's just bizarre. It was already bizarre, but and then his final strike was June 25th, 1977. He was fishing in a freshwater pool. The lightning hit the top of his head, singed his hair, traveled down, burned his chest and stomach. He tried to turn his car when something unexpected occurred. A bear approached the pond and tried to steal trout from his fishing line. He had the strength and courage to strike the bear with a tree branch. He claimed that this was the 22nd time he hit a bear with a stick in his lifetime. So not only did he get hit by lightning
he
seven times.
He constantly fend off bears.
He constantly fended off bears. 22 times.
This man. And so when I was hearing about this on this podcast I was listening to earlier, there was actually a few times where he'd be meeting with another ranger and like the guy, they would see a storm coming in, but not necessarily a lightning storm or get cloudy. And the person who was meeting with him would say that they, oh, I have to go. Like, you're going to get struck by lightning and you're a lightning rod. This is, you know.
I don't know.
Poor man.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst. It's supposedly a 1 in 12,000 chance of it happening to you in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So to have it happen to you seven times in your lifetime. Yeah. I mean, he was a park ranger, which definitely ups his statistical chance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting. So men, out of lightning strike, people that get struck by lightning, three out of four of them are men.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and it's to a few factors. One is that they don't take advice to seek shelter. Another is, and this is not my just slacking off dudes. It's
this is scientific fact.
This is science. Okay. They're more likely to ignore weather reports, local weather reports.
Mm-hmm.
They're also more unlikely to go into the recovery position.
Okay.
You know, it's where you're supposed to try to make at least contact with the ground as possible, or at least this is what I was taught as a child.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe science has developed something else.
I did read that the fact that wearing rain boots will save you is a myth. That's not true.
No.
And being on a bicycle that has rubber tires will save you. Also a myth. Not true.
No. Yeah. No. No. Especially if your name is
Roy Sullivan. You're SOL if you're Roy Sullivan.
This poor man.
In Canada, there's over 2 million lightning strikes a year. And 9 or 10 people are killed on average a year. And between 100 and 150 people are injured each year by lightning.
And I think there's a condition where if you're struck by lightning and you survive, sometimes it can kind of like mess up your internals.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different... Yeah. Like, things that can cause.
Obviously, it can burn you.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite badly. But there's kind of a... I should have looked this up. But it's, you know, there's some kind of medical condition where you... It's not like you're, you know, all of a sudden going to throw lightning at people or anything like that. Like, you don't become an X-Man.
No.
Your systems are just completely messed up by this electrical charge that has been surged through you.
Yeah, because it's not just burning you sort of physically on the surface. It's burning your organs a lot at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Deeper tissue burns.
Brutal.
I think it can screw up your heart too, because it's like the electric currents in your heart.
Yeah.
And then have neurological effects. I had looked this up actually. Interfere with your ability to control your nerves or nervous control system.
Right.
So
okay,
your heart,
so
your lungs, and yeah,
that'll mess you up.
It'll mess you up. So yeah. go inside. If you go to the Environment Canada website, they advise you to get friggin' inside, basically.
Yeah.
Don't stand outside.
If you're a dude, check local weather reports.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, and I don't want to get into like the stereotyping of men as a general topic, but I do feel like women, due to our general vulnerability in society and culture, are more prepared at all times. I think this is why women carry purses and men don't. This is like a deeper theory.
It's like a safety conscious and preparedness.
Yeah, we have to be conscious of our safety and be prepared for situations at all times.
You know, even anecdotally, I completely agree with this statement.
Yeah. So I think that's like maybe some of it's like how often do you check the weather?
Babe,
I check the weather
every day. Do I need
a
jacket?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I just think it's like a sort of evolutionary thing of being female that you're prepared. So you check the weather. You think about having a jacket. You think about being cold.
Yeah.
You think about if it's going
to
rain.
Do I need to bring socks to work?
Maybe it's just because we wear stupid shoes. Because a lot of times, and women do wear really stupid shoes. For reasons, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times I have to check the weather because I want to assess whether the stupid shoes that I want to wear are appropriate for that day.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Because every one of us has gotten caught with suede shoes on in the pouring rain, and it's the worst.
Yeah, or flip-flops, and then it drops to, 14 degrees.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
We have a related, sort of unrelated song. So we'll play that.
It's tongue-in-cheek.
And then we're going to come back and talk about something else that starts with the letter E here on Letter Speak. This is Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant.
Electric Avenue.
We're back on Let Her Speak. God, I love that song.
That tune is amazing.
I feel like that's one of those songs that I think is because the year it came out, which I don't even have in front of me, but somewhere in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. It's like a song of my childhood. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's just super happy.
Yeah, I just want to dance.
And it's kind of about nothing. You know, it's a kind of a song about going to a party.
That's what it makes me feel.
Yeah.
It's a song that sounds good in your ears.
Sure does.
Is that a segue?
Yes, it is.
We are going to talk about earrings.
Earrings. So, I have pierced ears.
I do too.
Do you ever wear earrings?
No. Well, I have to really, really want to. So, no, generally not. I wore them to my wedding and my ears hurt for 3 days.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I got mine done later in life.
Okay.
When I was 19.
Okay.
And the woman who did it laughed at me.
Oh, because she cried?
No, because I was old. Oh. She was like, 11-year-olds do this. What's up with this?
Let's unpack this a little bit. Yeah. Because some people get their baby's ears pierced when they're babies.
Not a fan.
And I think I understand the thinking of it. The thinking is kind of like how boys get circumcised. Like, they're too young to know the pain and just gets it out of the way.
Sure.
I think that's the thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it is as well. Also, sometimes it's just like cultural where every single woman in this culture gets her ears done.
The culture that I'm thinking of is Italian, but I'm sure there are others.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I associate that with Italian families.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some girls at my high school who were Indian, and they all got their ears pierced when they were little.
Yeah, and then you would get earrings as gift at all the milestone sort of things, right? Yeah. Like communions and... I got my ears pierced when I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think about 9. And I got it done at a store at the mall, the Five Points Mall in Oshawa.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
My niece got her ears pierced, I think, about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. a year and a half ago. And my sister took her to like a good place and they did it with a needle.
Oh.
Fancy, right? Because apparently much less painful.
Well.
And they can put the hoop in right away.
Okay.
Right? They don't have to do that stupid stud.
Those little bullshit studs.
I actually have 4 holes. But they're not... Because I'm me, I have 3 on one side and 1 on the other.
Oh, lopsided.
But I'm only able to put earrings in and 2 of them. The top 2 have grown in, but you can still feel that they're there. I scar pretty bad.
Oh, yeah, the cartilage and all that business. Yeah.
No. But for a while there, I had all kinds of studs in that ear.
Yeah, and I kind of wish I still could wear them, but I just can't anymore because they just get infected and it's not worth it.
I kind of wish clip-on earrings were more common.
They are super common at flea markets and that kind of a thing.
They're comfortable.
I bought a couple pairs, but my problem is I talk on the phone a lot at work. So I have to do the, 60s Joan. Oh my God.
Old timey,
take your earring off and talk on the phone. And then I will inevitably leave it on my desk and never come back for it.
Yeah.
But I do have a few pairs of clip-ons and I do think they're pretty cute.
I wore clip-on earrings last Halloween when I was Murphy Brown for Halloween and they were comfortable all night.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, they're not like, it's not like you're wearing nothing.
No.
But you suffer for fashion, but they're more comfortable for me than
fancying up your head.
Yeah. More comfortable than the studded earrings just because they're heavy and they feel like they're, I don't know, just it feels gross for the next few days.
Yeah.
I think part of it is, and this is just a theory, but I think part of it is that like cheap fashion earrings they just lie about what they're supposed to be silver, and they're like, even
it's
if you get better
free.
Ones,
it's
nickel free. No, it's got a bunch of garbage in it, and that's why your skin's reacting to it.
Yeah, but I have worn, you know, nicer earrings too, and I still have the same issue. Yeah. So I don't know. I think there's just some ears that some bodies just reject the earrings more than other bodies, or they never really healed correctly in the first place. Is possible as well.
What do you think about the giant ear stretchers?
I personally am not a fan, and I personally think they're gross, but if someone has it, I'm not going to like talk to them about it and be like, that's disgusting.
Apparently it's all the rage that fixing those with plastic surgery is big business right now,
which
it doesn't surprise me, because I feel like it was a bit younger than me, like a couple of years younger than me, maybe even 5 or 6 years younger than me. It was really a thing. And then people who are like 22, 24 now that stretch them way out are now like, because it was the trend in the early 2000s. They're like, trying to get adult jobs, so they go and get their ears fixed.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, it's interesting to me. Sometimes you can definitely tell when someone's had the lower lip one.
The chin stud.
The chin
I'm sure it's got an actual name. I'm hip enough to know what it is.
I'm positive it does. And I remember
Labret, is that one?
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. That just popped
into my head.
Is that
the nose?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Or there was a guy who was in my university dorm, and he got his little eyebrow done. I was like, that's a choice, but
because you have that scar forever.
Some people
heal better than others.
It's funny because tattoos don't gross me out like a stretched ear does.
I think it's
also hippies. I just don't like this like crunchy
because I've heard that
faux hippie thing.
The stretched ears actually smell bad. I don't know where I heard this, but it's like
because your body is trying to heal itself. So they're like, just it's like an open wound.
Oh,
that's
gross. Know if that's actually true.
I don't know,
but I've heard that anecdotally that they don't like if you smell someone's ear where they don't have the like space they're actually in, where it's just the like flesh, that it smells funky.
And maybe it's just kind of like faux, like I don't know why someone would do that in like in my circles, you know.
That's a trend.
Yeah
I think that's a trend. Its time has come and gone. Sometimes I feel like the small ones, I don't mind the small spacers.
Sometimes they're okay.
Some people it just suits them. Some people can pull off certain things. I can't say I'm a huge, it's when they get big and ridiculous that I'm like, that's just not functional.
I just worry if they get caught on something.
You know, they're so like practical. I'm like, oh, just think of like,
and I'm a very you do you person.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not actually gonna go up to someone and be like, I'm grossed out, because that's ridiculous.
It's rude. Yes.
And rude. But you know, just in a like, if someone's gonna ask me my opinion about it, I would just say it's gross.
Well, that's what this show is. You know, this is a safe place to discuss your opinions. We were talking about earrings, and then we were talking about what song we were going to play, and we thought we might talk about a song. We play a song that had to do with listening or hearing.
Hearing things.
So I googled songs about hearing things, and I was reading through the list, and I read this song, and we both got really excited, actually.
Yeah.
I started singing it.
I started hitting your hand, your arm.
Yeah, you were like, Jack, this is the song.
Yeah.
We love this song.
Yeah, so it's really good.
It's a bit of a stretch, and it doesn't start with the letter E, but
it's a stretch, so
it's about
okay.
sound and hearing with your ears.
Yes. We were going to play Golden Earring song. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, should I say what the song is? Should I surprise the listeners?
I think you should surprise.
Okay. This is a surprise. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound. Stolen land. All you
really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you wanna follow me. Your laws are minimal, 'cause you won't even think about looking at the real criminal. This has got to cease, 'cause we be getting hyped to the sound of the police.
Listening to Letter Speak on Van Cleek FM 88.7. That was KRS-One with Sound of the Police.
I love that song.
Oh, such a good song.
Whenever I see a cop car and I'm in my car, and I'm not pro or anti cops at all, but whenever I see a cop car, I yep, I sing that. And sometimes if my husband's in the car, we do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That song is from 1993.
Oh, so good.
It's conscious hip-hop, this page tells me. Yeah. It was the second and final single from KRS-One's first solo album, Return of the Boom Bap. Good song.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about KRS-One.
No.
We'll talk about him with the letter K, though, because I have things to say.
Oh.
We are here to talk about the letter E. And so our next topic is etiquette.
Etiquette.
Like Dear Abby.
Yeah, I personally love reading advice columns,
yeah.
And I feel like that heads under social etiquette because people are generally asking questions about social etiquette, and I don't know, I just think it's really interesting how it's, you know, it's kind of like a code of, it's defined as a code of behavior that's shared across a society, so obviously, you know, etiquette in Canada means something different than etiquette in, for example, China.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially like table manners, and that falls under that, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think you could do a good job as an advice columnist?
Yes and no. I think I could definitely give an opinion.
Yeah.
It might be a bit silly or, you know, like irreverent or kind of dumb at first, and then I'd I'd have to edit it, and then second pass through, I would probably pick something out that would make sense to the person is asking a question.
Right.
But I pulled up for this an example from the Athenian Mercury Oracle printed in 1703.
Oh, this is old timey.
This has been edited by someone else that's not me for clarity. So the question was, dancing, is it lawful?
Oh. These were conservative times, I'm gathering from that question.
I think so. And I believe it's a Chicago-ish area publication. Oh, it could be Brit. I really should look that up more. Anyway, so the answer for this was, dancing seems in some sort natural. It's difficult not to leap for joy, and the whole body seems almost necessarily to follow the motion of the spirits and blood. Mm. This natural way of expelling mirth, which is also a healthful exercise to the body. So they didn't really actually answer, is it lawful?
Mm-hmm.
But they positioned it as a natural thing to do.
A natural way of expelling mirth, which, I relate to.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm feeling stressed, dancing it off is a really good way to get rid of. I don't really know what mirth is. Like, I could guess if we were playing Balderdash, I could guess what mirth means. Like, I know it's a negative emotion. It's not a word that I use commonly. Mm-hmm. So I might get the exact definition wrong. But how I'm imagining it is like bad feelings towards other things.
Yeah. And especially in this era of writing, it's probably, if there is like bad spirits or bad blood, you can kind of shake it to your extremities and it'll get warmed by the air. And
there's a song here. There's a song.
Something. Do you want to hear one from 1695?
Yeah, even older. Yes. Yeah.
So, question. A young man, being an apprentice and having served about half his time, half a very fair opportunity to marry much to his advantage.
Oh.
Would you advise such a one to take opportunity by the foretop, or to let her go and say he cannot marry her because he is an apprentice? Gentlemen, pray favor me with a speedy answer.
Oh, that's, that's timeless in a way.
Mm-hmm. I say complete your education first, son.
Put your education first.
Yeah.
Marry for love, not money. Mm-hmm. It will do you well in the long run.
Yes. Well, this is 1695.
But let's see what the answer is.
Answer, fair and gently, lad. Marriage is no football play.
Oh,
interesting. Football is two separate words, so.
Right.
Yeah. Few men, till some years above 20, know either how to govern themselves, choose a wife, or set a true value upon money. Not one marriage in 500 made before 25 or thereabouts proves happy. So
that's good advice.
Yeah. So it's kind of the, you married too young, you will, get divorced, essentially, which is advice I feel is very much thrown about.
Timeless advice.
Yeah. And so then I was like, well, maybe we can answer a question ourselves. And this is a modern question.
Okay.
And I feel like it kind of, I think it relates to us because we live in a small town.
Yes.
So it's like, it's kind of agrarian and it's dealing with neighbors. So this is a question from Dear Prudence, mm-hmm. who answers questions like this from slate.com. Question. We have two large trees in our front yard. In one tree, there is a well-established beehive. It is pretty high up, 20 feet up or so, and centered where the tree splits into two larger trunks. Our neighbors recently asked us to remove the bees as their kids have been stung a few times. While they are not allergic, having multiple stings a year is not fun. I think the bees are drawn to their pool. We contacted some bee relocation services, and it seems the general consensus is that we would have to exterminate the hive as it is not well positioned for relocation. Personally, my husband and I would not want to remove the bees at all, especially if it means killing them. I don't want to be a bad neighbor, and I feel bad that the kids have been stung, but bees do so much good. It doesn't seem like there is a way for both sides to be happy. What do you think we should do?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the bees are important.
They are very important.
I first want to assess to make sure they're 100% bees. They're not like wasps or some other crappy thing.
Yeah, like yellow jackets.
I don't even know. I don't know what the etiquette is on this. I feel like you got to leave the bee if they're determined to be bumblebees that make honey.
Yeah.
In current climate, you got to leave them alone.
Yeah, like all bees pollinate.
Yeah.
If it's a wasp nest, fire that thing immediately. Yes. Burn it to the ground.
Yes.
But it sounds like it's bees.
If it's bees, you got to leave it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to leave it.
And the if they're being attracted to the pool.
Yeah.
I feel like they're being attracted to like a body of water. So maybe there's like another thing that they could do where, there's like a shallow tub of water in their own yard that the bees can drink from.
What about calling like an environmental agency and asking them if they can move the beehive to somewhere else?
So that's what they say. They say they've contacted a number of relocation services.
Oh, did I? Sorry. I guess I zoned out on that. I was thinking about
bees. I don't know, though, because I think that that can be done. You move the queen and the hive follows, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there are solutions here.
What did Dear Prudence say?
She said the thing about the water.
She said the thing about the water.
Yeah, she was like, I wouldn't kill these bees. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, colony hive death is really an issue.
Yeah. Actually, got some free...
no one's allergic over there. Just, like... deal with it, man.
I got some wildflower seeds this year. I don't want to say the brand because whatever.
Yeah.
They're not paying for the placement on this important radio show.
Yeah, not like Dinosaur Barbecue.
But yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah. So Honey Nut Cheerios is giving out free flower seeds.
Oh, nice.
This year. Because they're trying to save the bees. They're taking on the bees. It's their like pet brand mission, I guess.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe it'll help. Why not, right?
I don't know. Like, I have no idea if it'll help. It was a brilliant marketing scheme because I keep thinking about and wanting Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah.
They gave out 36 million wildflower seeds in partnership with some wildflower seed company.
It can't hurt. Well, unless it's like, you know, seeds that are not native to the area and then they take over.
Imagine that happens, though. That would be a PR disaster for Honey Nut Cheerios. So I hope they did their due diligence on finding seeds that aren't invasive species.
Yeah, exactly.
So etiquette.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I could do an etiquette question and answer. I think that would be really fun.
I think it'd be fun too.
Yeah, and you can kind of look into stuff like people like I really enjoy reading etiquette columns.
Yeah.
Dear Prudence is a good one. I have read Dear Abby in the past. Some of them are a bit conservative for my taste.
Yes.
So, you know, they'll have questions about like, "Oh, I need to talk to my kids about sex." And it's like, "Yeah, you should, cuz you're their parent."
I have a book I should loan to you. It's an advice book, and it's teens asking, but it's from like the 40s, and it's like teens asking about sex, and it's advice.
Oh.
And it's really conservative and kind of bizarre and hilarious.
Weird, yeah.
Before we go, we have 2 minutes left. Do you think we have time to do Tina's Taboo?
Oh, I don't know.
We don't?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no.
We could touch on it. Why not? It's about extensions in women's hair.
That's way too much to talk about in 2 minutes.
It really is. There's a lot to unpack there.
Have you ever had extensions?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I was looking into it, and so it's interesting because there's a bunch of studies that have been done with like why is like women having long hair such a thing. And there's a lot here that we could probably talk about for like 15 minutes. But
yeah. Do you think we're at the letter E. Do you think we could save it for H and do it and commit to doing it under the letter H for hair?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's done. I'm putting it in the notes.
Great.
I'm just going to start our last song for the night, which was your choice. And we'll wrap it up. Next week, we're back with the letter F, which should be a fun one.
It'll be fun.
Seven lonely days and a dozen times ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Don't know why you'd run, what you're running to or from. All I know is I want to bring you home. So I'm walking in the rain, thumbing for a ride on this lonely Kentucky back road. I've loved you much too long, my love's too strong to let you go, never knowing what went wrong. With the rain in my shoes, searching for you in the cold Kentucky rain, in the cold Kentucky rain. Showed
soldier photograph to some old gray bearded men sitting on a bench outside a general store. They said, yes, she's been here, but their memory wasn't clear. Was it yesterday? No, wait, the day before. Finally got a ride with a preacher man who asked, were you bound on such a cold, dark afternoon? As we drove on through the rain, as he listened, I explained, and he left me with a prayer that I find you. Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through, with the rain in my shoes.